a series that we kind of started on. And I appreciate this young man. Amen. What he's done. He's more than our FedEx delivery man. I'm thankful for our administrator of our church, but not only that, a young man of God that loves the things of truth. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise as we begin to change this order of the service.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brother, you can go ahead and pop up that slide, if you will. Oh, thank you. Amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and pick up. This is lesson three on the series that Pastor has already started. I'm going to go ahead and give you the title. It's God's Word is an Immovable Anchor in a Time of Storm. And our key verse, you don't have to stand, it's in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And it says, God is not a man that he should not lie, nor a son of man that he should not repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and he not make it good? Amen. And before I keep going, Pastor, I want to say thank you for the opportunity. I know that you don't just give everybody an opportunity, and I don't take it lightly. I prayed about this, and I want God to move. I don't want to just teach, but I want to help somebody to get this in their heart. That's my prayer today. Sister C, we love you. And I do love my wife. I'm thankful for her support and all that she does. Amen. So before we really dive into this lesson, I'm going to give us some facts about the Word of God. And you can we're going to go into the next slide. And we got our historical reliability, archaeological discoveries have confirmed many of the biblical historical references, including specific places, people, and events. Examples include Pilate's stone, which collaborates with Pontius Pilate's existence, and the, I'm going to try and say this right, Tell Dan Steele, which mentions the House of David. The Tell Dan Steele was an artifact found in the early 1900s that was discovered around the lineage of Jehoiakim, which was from the lineage of King David. And so this was bringing out references of actual people in the Bible. Non-biblical sources like Josephus and Tacitus also mentioned Jesus and early Christians, lending external support to the historical narrative. Furthermore, scholars note the early dating of the New Testament documents within a generation or two of the events described, reducing the likelihood of myths or significant errors accumulating. Textual reliability. The sheer number of surviving biblical manuscripts, over 5,800 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament alone, far more than any other ancient work, allow for a high degree of confidence in the accuracy of modern translations compared to the originals. Textual criticism involves comparing these manuscripts to identify variations, which are most minor and do not affect core doctrines. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, containing fragments of nearly every Old Testament book, confirmed the remarkable consistency of the text over centuries. Fulfilled prophecy. The Bible contains numerous specific prophecies that were fulfilled, particularly in the life of Jesus. Examples include the prediction of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, Micah 5 and 2, and his suffering and death, Isaiah 53. Internal consistency. Despite being written by over 40 authors across thousands of years in diverse contexts, the Bible maintains a remarkably consistent narrative about God's character and redemptive plan. An enduring influence and claims of inspiration. The Bible's impact of literature, art, law, and morality throughout history points to its significance and enduring power. The Bible itself claims to be divinely inspired. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. This is a foundational reason that we, as believers, trust in God's word. Let's take a breath. First, we're going to go over some life questions. The first question we have to decide on every day when we wake up is, am I going to serve the Lord? We might as well not even try to grab a hold of the anchor, because it is impossible for us to hold on to the anchor and the storm that is disturbing your life. Joseph had to already decide that he was going to serve God while he was in his father's house, while he was in safety. Joseph, there is nothing to worry about. You're the favorite, is what some could have told him, what he could have thought to himself. Jacob will protect you, and everything is going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Joseph had to have a relationship with the Lord before he was betrayed by his brothers. We hear stories of life from our elders and about fiery trials, losing homes, losing loved ones, having unbelievable health problems. And we always wonder, well, how do you make it through these circumstances, these situations? It seems like it's full of hopelessness. Until we start to understand that they are holding on to something. They're holding on to an anchor that can withstand that storm. The next question that you can have while going through a storm is, am I in line with the will of God? When hard times come our way, we can look at a perspective that I'm outside of the will of God. Now, if bad things are happening and you're outside and you're living in sin, then maybe God is trying to get your attention, but bad things still happen to good Christians. We can't always have this perspective of, oh, God's punishing me for something so minute that it doesn't make sense. God's not going to operate in that avenue. We can look at what Paul and James had to say. James says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Job had questions. Job was a man of God, and he lost everything, his friends, his wife. But was it his fault? Was he outside of the will of God? No. He wasn't outside of the will of God. And his friends would come to him and say, well, you must be doing something wrong, because all these bad things are happening to you. You've got to be missing something. Did you not give offerings like you're supposed to? No, he gave plenty of offerings to the Lord. He gave offerings on behalf of his children because he knew how they lived. And so we wonder, why is God punishing him? There's a trial. And in those days, they had a different perspective of God, his friends. They were living in a world where monotheism, one God, was more of a strange idea. They believed in multiple gods, and they believed that, well, I'm going to serve this God, I'm going to give sacrifices to this God. And when that God, you know, He doesn't do what I want him to do. If he doesn't protect me and something else comes my way and disturbs me, well, I'm going to figure out what that is, and I'm going to serve that God. And if that happens again, I'm going to go serve that God. And if that happens again, I'm going to serve that God. And it's a switching of who they're trying to find the strongest God. Well, Job already knew he found the strongest God, so he knew he wasn't about to switch. He knew that he had to just stay faithful to God. Your walk with God is a journey of faith, and there will be situations which your trust in him will be tested. But don't worry, God has prepared us. A guidebook for life's journey. God has given us a roadmap through his life, through this life, and it is found in his word. The word of God is everything with our walk with Jesus. It's God's main source of communication to his people. It's how you can distinguish the difference between his voice, your voice, and the devil's voice. God's word never changes. It doesn't matter what angle you take. It doesn't change. Your lens that you read scripture with can change, but God's word does not change. We have to have a Book of Acts lens to read the word correctly. How important it is to be familiar with the word of God. Every captain knows when they need to let down their anchor. They know it's crucial to not drop it too early. Because if you drop it too early, now you got to row your boats, you know, a couple miles. But you also don't want to wait too long. Because if you wait too long and you run into shore, now you're damaging your ship. And you can't have that. Because you're the captain. You need to know what you're doing with your anchor. The more time you spend in scripture, the stronger your bond with God grows. And the better you will know your anchor. Not only is God the map maker, but he is the creator of life and the author of each day. Don't try to tackle life without instructions from the one who makes each day possible. Before you set out for a destination, you need to look at the road that is ahead and plan for any problem that may be before you. Are we going to go to the mountains? No, I better make sure I got some good tires. I mean, if it snows, I better have some good tires. Otherwise, I'm not going nowhere when I get there and there's snow and I got bad tires. Are we going through widespread country where we go miles upon miles without seeing a city or a town that has gas? Well, I need to make sure every chance that I get, I'm going to fill up. I'm going to make sure that I'm prepared. Do we need reservations at a stopping point to ensure safety? We have to be prepared for the road that is in front of us. God's word is what is going to prepare us for what life has before us. I read in a book, it's called The Divine Mentor. It talks about this pastor, and he was in Hawaii. I'm pretty sure he was an apostolic, but there's some good principles in it. And so he was struggling with his church. He wasn't figuring things out. He was, you know, he wasn't having a revival. And so he went and he was studying in the library at his town. And he found a manuscript of a pastor from years before. I want to say it was 100 years ago. Notes aren't popping up in my mind. But from about 100 years from before he was pastoring. And so he decided that he was going to, you know, read what he had to say. And he was seeing what errors he was already making. And through that literature that he had found, he was able to have a better roadmap to what to expect in the community and the people he was trying to minister to. We see the Bible is full of true stories of people's successes and their failures. We get to decide which road we want to take. Do we want to learn from the mentors from the past or fall into the same mistakes? The value of a discerning eye. Discernment is the ability to decide between God's truth and the world's error. We have to be able to apply the principles from the Word of God in today's life. How do we accomplish such a task? Today we live in a different culture, time, language than the word of God was written. And even when it has been translated, there are multiple factors we have to look at when discerning the context of the scripture. The first thing we need to do is, who is God writing this passage? Who has God chosen that is supposed to be writing this this passage? Is it Isaiah that's writing this? Is it Matthew that's writing this? Is it Paul? Is it Peter? We have to figure out who is writing this. Then we have to understand, what are the historical circumstances of the writing? What time frame is this? Is this during, before Moses? Is this after Moses? Is this right before the flood? We need to know what context God is talking through with his people. We need to know who is being written to. We need to know the audience. And we also need to know the tone of the passage. How does this connect to the passages around it? How do respected Christian scholars and teachers interpret the passage? And what relevance does the passage have for believers today? It's very important that we do not impose our personal ideals on Scripture. That's a big one. We cannot put our own thoughts, our own ideals on Scripture. We can't have the mindset of, well, this is how I see the Scripture. There is only one interpretation of the Bible, and that's God's interpretation. We also cannot discount the power of the Holy Ghost to help reveal revelation of the Scripture. Firmly anchored. How do I get firmly anchored in him? It starts with the sincerity of, not my will, but yours be done. The more we understand that we need him, the more we will seek him, and the more that we will be anchored in him. It is a manifold blessing to seek the wisdom of God. The more you understand that man's wisdom is futile and that the Lord's wisdom is everlasting, the more you will grow in understanding. The more you trust in the Lord, the more he trusts in you. The more you bless the Lord, the more that he blesses you. And I'm not talking about giving to receive. I'm talking about being a channel that God can flow through to pour out the blessings. After all, it's not about the finite. That's not what it's about right now, but it's about what eternity holds. Hebrews 6:18-19 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Living the principle. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life. God will never fail you and never change his mind about the promises he has made. His promises are yes and amen. Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessing and the curses that come to those who either obey God or those who disobey God. If you follow him, you will be blessed and you will live in victory. But if you do not hearken to the words and statutes that God has commanded in his word, then you will be cursed and live in defeat. And life lessons to remember: God's promises are the anchor of your spiritual life. If it's in the word and in correct context, then it's always true. God always fulfills the promises he makes. In Joshua 21:45, God followed his word with his provision. When he says it, it is finished. God will reward you as you patiently wait for him to fulfill his promises. In Habakkuk 2:2-3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run the that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and no lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I'm going to go ahead and do my final remarks. The enemy wants to speak to you, saying that God is trying to tie you down. His words are just there to hold you back from your full potential. But friend, the word of God is there to hold you up and keep you when the storms are raging. I don't have to worry about different ways drifting away because I'm holding to God's unchanging hand. The devil will come to you with false promises, but my God will assure you on his firm foundation that you can live for God and you can be a blessing. Amen. And that's the Bible study for staying true on holding on to the anchor. Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord.
We got to hold on. You know how an anchor really works? It'll hold you if you keep it attached. Brother Dwayne was in the Navy, right?
That's great.
Do you know how to tie knots?
One or two.
Sis Crossway's daddy was in the Navy, and it was amazing. With one hand, he could just, you probably do the same thing.
Nope.
One hand, I mean, the fellow could take and tie a knot. And he said, a good knot is what we need. And in living for God, you better have a good knot in your life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you don't have it, the love of the Father will not be in you. We better have a good knot. And it better be hitched to the anchor of our soul. Amen. Are you thankful for the word of the Lord tonight? Thank you, Brother Neil. Amen. Lift your hands one more time. Let's just thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We give you praise. We worship you. We love you today, God. Thank you for the anchor that still holds me and keeps me in Jesus' name. And let's go to heaven, Hal. Remember this weekend, I think there's a youth rally. Brother Zach, youth rally.